Here it is. All of a sudden, it's 5:14 on Tuesday, a little thereafter, and that does mean that Live with the Jazz Cat is on its way, and the host, Leroy Downs, the Jazz Cat himself, will be right with you in about 10 seconds. By the way, it's a good time for me to tell you that if you want more information on all the archived interviews, and I mean there are a ton of great interviews by Leroy Downs on his website, that is www.thejazzcat.net. And I encourage you to go to that website because you will be rewarded, and I mean extremely rewarded, by some great interviews which he has archived. You can go there and hear the interviews with Bobby Hutcherson, Ornette Coleman, Carmen Lundy, Diane Reeves. The list goes on. I mean, the Charles Lloyd one was extremely well done. I mean, they're all well done. There's some in the Grammy award-winning line, some in Diane Reeves' living room. I mean, it is just terrific. And again, today he's with us with another stellar interview with one of the jazz luminaries, Don Friedman. So without further ado, let me introduce Live with the Jazz Cat show. Leroy?
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good, very good. Let me let you have the airwaves here.
Well, beautiful. Well, thanks so much. And speaking of movies, one of the people on the line here just got through seeing a good one today and has been very happy by that. Mr. Don Friedman.
Yeah, hi, Leroy.
Hey, Don, how are you?
I'm good, good.
Man, I've been listening to your compositions for so long. It's, you know, listening is like being told exciting, adventurous stories. You know, they're so full of dance, romance, and wonder. What are the concepts that inspire the movement in your music?
Well, you know, a lot of the times I get some ideas from the people that I'm associated with. You know, I've written a lot of tunes for different people with, you know, the different, some of my kids, my wife, some of my other friends, things that people say, things that I hear, give me the idea to write. And then also, I feel like I need to have material to play. I want to have my own material to play when I do performances. I think it's very important to have original material.
Well, you just wrote something for Clark Terry as well, someone you played with for over 40 years.
Well, that's a perfect example of a person who has been inspiring to me throughout my career, really. I've been associated with Clark in some capacity, one way or another, for more than, I guess, 40 years. He's an inspiring musician and an inspiring person. He's unbelievable, you know, one of the greatest trumpet players of all time. And just a fabulous, great musician and a beautiful person. And you know, the thing is, oftentimes people write tunes for people once they've passed on, you know. So I especially wanted to write something for Clark while he was on the scene, you know. So that's really why I wrote this piece. Now, you know, I wrote it about, 6 or 8 months or a year ago, and I dedicated it to him, and I sent him the record, and he was very happy to hear it.
Well, you know, speaking of movies and things that make you happy, when you hang out with Clark Terry, man, you're going to be listening to jokes and laughing and smiling, and I know all of that.
Right, that's absolutely true, yeah, sure. I was just down at his, Clark lives down in Arkansas now. He moved down to Arkansas. He used to live in New Jersey, and now he moved down to Arkansas. And they had early this year, they had a Clark Terry Festival in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, which is where he lives. And myself and many other musicians, Jimmy Heath and Red Holloway and a lot of people that we were all, the guys that are in his regular quintet, plus many other artists. Kevin Mahogany was there. And we all, you know, performed and hung out with Clark. We went over to his, got a beautiful house there now in Pine Bluff. We all hung out there and had a great dinner and just had great stories. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful day and night that we had there.
Well, musical friendships and food and collaboration always bring about the best in life and the best in the music.
Yeah, right, absolutely. It's about people.
That's right. You know, your albums that I've been most familiar with, Circle Waltz, Metamorphosis, Dreams and Explorations, A Day in the City, each provide some intricate insight into the way you think musically. I mean, the rhythm is always tight. I always get a sense of your movement as you don't let any aspect of your expression go unnoticed. You frame your ideas so wonderfully.
Well, thank you. Thanks. I just wanted to mention that those records that you mentioned are all from the things that I did back in the 60s. I was a lot younger than I am now, obviously, which is about 45 years ago. And I was very fortunate because that was right after I just kind of came. I just came to New York from California, and I hooked up with Riverside Records, and I did my first record for them called A Day in the City, which are some of the things that you're mentioning. And then I did a couple of records with a great guitar player from Hungary named Attila Zoller, and that was the other thing that you were mentioning. But I'd like to also let you and other people know that in the recent years I've done a lot of recording also for a Japanese label called 88. I did three trio CDs and a solo CD, and I know that you just now have the one that I just most recently did, which was called The Waltz for Marilyn, which is a quartet record with a trio that I've been playing with here in New York, with Martin Wind on bass and Tony Jefferson on drums, and guest Peter Bernstein on guitar.
You're listening to pianist Don Friedman on the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, I noticed that, you waltz quite often for the loves in your life, one for Debbie, and one for Marilyn, so your family must inspire you a bit as well.
They sure do, yeah. Well, Marilyn is my wife. Waltz for Debbie, I have to admit, was an idea of a Japanese promoter who I recorded for, and I guess he wanted me to do something, because I have been compared a lot to Bill Evans, although I don't feel that I'm really, I never really copied Bill. I knew Bill, and I was very close friends with Scott LaFaro, who was Bill's first bass player. And of course, I was around in those days, and I was very inspired by his trio at that time, because I thought that Bill and Scotty and Paul Motion, I felt that trio was really leading the way as far as how trios can play in an interactive way, where you don't have just only solos, but you really have like group playing together. And I always thought that was a great idea, and I have borrowed that some of those ideas from my own groups and in my concept of how to play. But I do feel that I have my own voice, which I've developed over the so many years of playing.
Oh, that's apparent. That's absolutely apparent. You know, Peter Bernstein is a guy I've known on the scene. You've known him since he's been 15 years old?
Yeah, he was a kid, right, yes, when I first met him. Attila Zoller, the guitar player that I mentioned before, had a jazz school up in Vermont, and I used to go up there and teach, and he had like guys like Lee Konitz would come up and other musicians. And Peter was a student at that time, and he was very talented even when he was a young boy. And of course now he's a really great player. He's become a great player.
Well, you know the synergy that exists between you and your guitarist. I mean, Attila Zoller, and I can even hear it here with Peter Bernstein. It's quite intriguing. You know, it displays how also you think. And how do you explain? What is it you're trying to capture in each piece that you convey?
Well, I have very different concepts on different pieces. For example, on the tune of the Clark Terry tune, I was trying to capture some of the kind of humor and bluesy feeling that Clark brings to all of his playing, his music. I wanted it to represent something about Clark Terry. When I did some of the other things, I tried to What Is This Thing Called Love, where Peter and I are kind of playing lines together. I felt that was a kind of a recreation of some of the stuff that Attila and I used to do, because we used to play a lot of those kind of things. So I had different. I tried to have different concepts for different tunes, And then I had this one tune called Você e Eu, which is a real beautiful Brazilian tune. And I've been exposed to a lot of Brazilian music, and I love it. And I've tried to incorporate some of the sounds that I've heard in that kind of music. So different ways of different approaches.
You're listening to pianist Don Friedman right here on the show called Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. On the For Locals Only show with Gary Hamada, I'm Leroy Downs. You know, you have a wonderful way of splashing so many brilliant colors on your standards. I mean, so that they always seem more exciting to hear. I mean, what would be some of your favorite standards, and what is it that the composer initially expressed that gave you some ideas for your new direction?
Okay, well, some of my favorite tunes are some of the ones that I've recorded, like I Concentrate on You by Cole Porter. I like to play Stella by Starlight. I like to play It Could Happen to You. Everything Happens to Me. I like, there's so many beautiful ballads. Never Let Me Go is one. My Romance, on and on and on. There's so many tunes. But I feel that the melodies, some of the words, some of the lyrics, the melodies, and of course the harmonies are all very important elements in these tunes, and it's what kind of inspires me or people, I guess, to expand on the original tune. In other words, that's the improvisational part where you kind of take off on the tune, but you need to have the melody and the basic form in order to express your own kind of feelings about the songs. And there's so many good ones out there.
Absolutely. Now, initially, you were classically trained, I believe, but your improvisation came so naturally to you. You blend these two concepts together so wonderfully. It's just a dynamic sound. Did your classical audience become jazz lovers, or did your jazz audience become classical lovers, or how did it work for you?
Well, I think that the classical training that I had helped me as a piano player, but I never really performed as a classical pianist. So I think one of the things that I've always admired, of course, I've admired many, many people, and one of the greatest musicians of all time, as we all know, is Duke Ellington. And Duke Ellington said something that I refer to often. He said there was only two kinds of music. There's good music and bad music. And for me, the good music is jazz and classical music. And the others, I don't know. I don't make judgments about other music, but I know that in my opinion, the great music is great jazz and great classical music.
You know, I've heard that from Duke as well, and I often refer to it that there are three types of music.
Okay.
Music, there's bad music, and then there's exceptional music, you know, and I really like the way players such as yourself, you know, like to reach for all these incredible ideas in the music. I like music to make you think, you know, cognitive sound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you really bring about a lot of that when you play.
Oh, thank you, Roy. Yeah, I try to do that, yeah. And I just like to pay a tribute, too, to some of the other musicians, jazz musicians, especially that I have been inspired by, like Charlie Parker, the great Bird, and Coltrane and Miles. I mean, those were the people that inspired me to play this music, and it also was one of the reason that I moved to New York, because I was living in the Los Angeles area when I first heard Miles' band was Coltrane, and Red Garland and Philly Joe Jones and Paul Chambers. They came out to California and played out there. And when I heard that band, I knew that I had to go to New York. That was really a turning point in my life. And I'm very glad that I made that choice.
It seems like at one point or another in every musician's life, they have to make the Mecca to New York City.
Right.
Does it still, I know you're there now, does it still hold that same sense of musical community and thriving ideas and inspiration as it did back in the 60s?
I do believe it does. I really do. I think that you have, nowadays, we have people coming from all over the world to New York City to learn, and the energy in New York City and the competition here is so keen that it kind of puts people in that mood of really working hard and getting together and playing, and it's a thriving art and cultural city. It still is.
Now, you just finished the tour. I have a good friend, Bobby Hutcherson, and I believe you were playing with Bobby somewhere.
I was.
Where was that?
That was in Germany, in, at a Jazz Baltica. It's a festival in the very northern part of Germany. It's called Jazz Baltica, and it's a wonderful festival. It's the artistic director there is a man named Rainer Harman, and he's a true jazz lover, and he has great taste in music, and he organizes this festival, and it's really one of the true remaining really jazz festivals, because as you probably know, many jazz festivals today have all these rock groups and everything, and then they throw in a little jazz, you know. But this is real jazz, all jazz, for 3 or 4 days. There's nothing but jazz groups and great jazz players. And Bobby Hutcherson was there, with Joe Locke was there. So many great musicians have played there, and I had the good fortune of being asked to play with Bobby Hutcherson and Joe Locke in a rhythm section, and we just had a great time playing together. And I never had the chance to play with Bobby before. I just met him there.
Oh wow!
And we got together, and we had a rehearsal, and we went up on stage and we played, and it was just great.
Oh, beautiful. Well, you know, so many of these other venues, they always take the word jazz because that's what will attract the people, and then they throw in the other elements so that they can be, you know, exposed as well.
But right, right.
They're music festivals, not jazz festivals, so it's definitely great. You know, Monterey has a beautiful, wonderful jazz festival that's coming up here in a few months. And I know you were just down here recently. You didn't perform when you were out this
No,
way,
I didn't. No, I was...
We'd love to see you here on the West Coast.
Well, I'd love to come out and play there.
Well, good. Hopefully we can see you soon. Don Friedman on the Live with the Jazz Cat segment on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. Thanks, Don.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Roy.
Thank you, gentlemen. And if you would like to get more information regarding the Live with the Jazz Cat segment and show, just go to his website, www.thejazzcat.net, and all the archived interviews are right on that website. It's well worth your journey there. I mean, it's a terrific website. If you love music, if you love jazz, take a look at some of the great interviews, as well as he has many events that he covers, including the International Association of Jazz Educators Conference and also the jazz events. You gotta check out the Jazz Cat if you want to know anything about jazz. www.thejazzcat.net, and he'll be back again with us next Tuesday at 5:14 for the Live with the Jazz Cat show. In the meantime, we'll listen to a little bit more from Don Friedman's album, and this one titled Waltz for Marilyn. Included on the album, Don Friedman, of course, on piano, Peter Bernstein on guitar, Martin Wind on bass, with Tony Jefferson on drums. And let's play the title track from that album, Waltz for Marilyn. ¶¶